Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Fansmanship.com podcast. This is Owen. I'm happy that you're listening. Hey, this episode is with San Luis Obispo High School football head coach Pat Johnston. As has been the case now multiple times, my first 5 minutes or so of the conversation in the podcast was not recorded. I thought it was recording and it was not. So apparently I need to get a clue or something. I tried to pick up kind of where we left off with Pat. My conversation with Pat was really great. He is in his first year coaching at Slo High after being an assistant coach at Cal Poly for 5 or 6 years. So I talked to Pat about what that transition's like, why transition to the high school ranks versus staying in the college coaching ranks, and kind of how things were going so far this year with his Slo High Tigers. They actually play Morro Bay High School tonight in Morro Bay. And so leading up to that game, the Battle of San Luis Coastal School District, I talked with Pat. I hope you enjoy it. I enjoyed it. Pat seemed like a really warm, nice guy. And I hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, one thing before we get to the podcast, if you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoy especially when I have J.D. Scroggin on, J.D. and I have started a kind of a spinoff podcast. It's called Hurricane and Scroggs. You can find it on Stitcher. You can find it on our website on the right-hand side. Scroll down a little ways and you'll find a link to it. And we really hope that you also enjoy the Hurricane Scroggs podcast. For now, though, this is the Fansmanship.com podcast. This is with Pat Johnston, and it starts now. I did this with Jen Keddie too. We got about 15 minutes, so I'm just going to start over because I suck. Wow. Well, this is me being stupid. Yeah. Sorry, Pat. Let's walk and talk here. Yeah, no, Pat Johnston from San Luis Obispo High School. I did this for a second time now, where I didn't tape the first 5 minutes of our conversation, but I'm just going to keep talking because we've covered the fact that Pat. His dad was a Cal Poly player. He grew up coming to games here, coming to Slo. We talked about kind of the difference. I want to kind of pick up there with that last question, kind of the big difference between, and I always hate to ask the same question twice, but sure. Some of the difference between the you know, coaching of, you know, 18, 19, 20, 22 year olds versus coaching you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds.
Well, you know, as you well know, because you coached in high school as well, they're at that impressionable age where there's a lot changing in their lives. And, you know, I was just laughing about it because I've been out of high school for 10 years. Yeah. And, you know, the world's changed a lot since then, you know. But yeah. It almost seems like the institution of high school really hasn't changed that much.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
It's still such a dynamic time for these kids, and it's still – there's still all the, you know, all the little dramas that go on with the kids, and there's all the nothing changes, it seems. Nothing changes. They still don't like taking math and English tests. They still love their electives. They still love going to their metal shop and wood shop and auto shop, and
they still act goofy while you're practicing special teams.
Oh man,
it took me back to high school football watching them. Just, you know, practice special teams in half pads on a Thursday, and and some things just don't change, right?
No, exactly. And you know what? It's funny because you as a coach, you know, I'm coming from college down to high school, and you know, I find myself just generally having that good time and embracing the goofiness, you know, that they bring to the table. As long as I know that they're still staying focused and getting done what they need to get done, then it's all good. Yeah. It's all good. But it's kind of letting a little bit more shenanigans slide, I guess.
You have to, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're dealing with a 16-year-old versus a 22-year-old,
oh, yeah.
You know, I talked about the kind of level of almost professionalism at Cal Poly or at a college
place. Talking about kind of culture, I guess, there's a culture at a high school that's kind of already established, like, within the school. And I've worked at a couple different high schools, and I always feel like, you know, there's, like, an established culture that's already there. Is culture something that you think about? I mean, in terms of football culture, football team, like, how much you can manage that? Is that something that's always on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, you know, and it's like you want that culture of competition and that culture of, you know, just caring about athletics in general. And right now, Slo High, you know, they care about their athletics. They do. They really do. From the administration to the student body, they care about their athletics. It's just a matter of harnessing that enthusiasm and putting it in the right direction, you know, and you know, in some ways, bringing it back to football a little bit more, where, you know, soccer has had so much success here and done so well, and there's been a big emphasis on it. You know, I'm a football guy, and I want to see football thrive in this town, whether it be, you know, in a perfect world, I would really love for San Luis High and Mission Prep to both be competing for CIF titles, you know, and just make this a football town. Is it going to happen overnight? You know, that'd be pretty unrealistic of me to say, but sure. What we can do is just every day come out here and relay to everybody that, you know, football is fun and football is safe if you are teaching it right. You know, that's a huge concern nowadays. So you want to just create that culture of competition and letting everybody know that football is still, you know, America's game, regardless of what baseball may say. I'm a baseball guy too, so don't get me wrong. I played baseball in high school and loved it. But when I think of, you know, hamburger and French fries, I think of football, you know, just that good old slice of American pie.
Nice. What's the most important value for you as a coach? You know, I think that's something when you're a brand new head coach, you can kind of think about maybe more consciously, maybe as time goes on, it just kind of becomes more implicit rather than explicit. But have you thought about, like, you know, the values as a coach, or like what are things that you really want to think about more explicitly when it comes to values and culture?
I mean, I think that, you know, as hard as it may be, is, you know, that honesty, even when it's harsh honesty and someone doesn't want to hear it, and it still has to be said, you know. And I've never been in that head coach position where I had to have those, some of those hard conversations with people
about playing time, about what you need to improve with, about
being
on the team.
Exactly. And whether it's with players, parents, community people, anybody, you know, that's a big transition, just being the one to have those hard conversations with people and maybe telling them things that they don't want to hear. It doesn't feel good, but it's a necessity of the job. So that honesty, you know, is and I've always been a very honest person, and I want to, you know, have good lines of communication throughout my entire program. So that's something big for me. It's just those good lines of communication, that honesty that goes along with it.
And in high school, it's not just with the players, right? But it's also with the families and the parents too. I heard a talk by a former NBA coach, Eric Musselman, whose dad, Bill Musselman, also coached in the NBA, and he said it's no different. You said you're a high school coach. It's no different. It's just that instead of me dealing with agents, you deal with parents. And he was making the analogy that, you know, that these are things that you have to balance, and, you know, talking about the importance of clear communication, not just with the players, but also, you know, with everybody involved in the program, whether it be the community or the parents too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I got to be honest, the parents of the players in our program have been so spectacular and so supportive. I really can't say enough about the wonderful group of people that have, you know, ultimately, you know, it's funny, I had this big surrounding group of people at Cal Poly, and now it's like I've just inherited, you know, 500 more people that care about us and care about how we're doing and care about me. And so there've been an amazing group of people to get to know better, and you know, some of them I only get to coach their son for this year, but some of them I'm going to be able to coach their son a few years from now. But it's been really fun and really exciting developing these new relationships, and just so pleased and so feel so lucky to have such a great support system here.
Yeah, I want to go back to Cal Poly because we talked a lot about it when I wasn't recording, because I'm pretty awesome with my recorder. Your father quarterbacked the only Cal Poly national championship team. They were they undefeated? I'm pretty, or they maybe had one loss or
I
two
think
losses.
They lost to Sac State that year, or something like that. Yeah.
But they were the national champions that year. Yeah. The early 80s, right? Was that 82, 81, 83?
1980.
80. Okay, yeah. There you go. And he had three kids that went and played at Poly and one that coached there. How's he not in the Hall of Fame at Cal Poly yet?
You know, don't ask me, man. I obviously I'm biased, and I think he does belong there. I know that just over this last year, there's been a really big contingent of people that feel the same way, and I know that he has been nominated for it. So that would be really special for him. And you know what? He's one of those really humble kind of guys that. He's thinking, oh, that's nice, guys. You know, he doesn't need it, but I think he deserves it. I know there's a lot of people that feel the same way because they, you know, obviously there were some really special players on that team that won that national championship, NFL guys, the full nine.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, and maybe they're just telling me this because I'm his oldest son and everything like that, but by all accounts, he was the one that you know, was the glue that held everything together and really led the charge.
Yeah.
That's a great role model to have, and hopefully it does happen someday.
What did it mean to be on the coaching staff while your brothers were playing? How was that like for you and for them?
That was a special time, you know, and I got to work with Ken a lot. I coached Phil. Coach Phil mostly on special teams. I was in pads for 1 year with Phil, and then I coached the remainder of his career. And he did a great job on special teams and was one of those guys that would fly down the field with his hair on fire. And you know, he's kind of the crazier one between the three of us. Okay. And but I got to work a lot.
He was the one who played linebacker versus quarterback.
That's right. Yeah. I got to work a lot individually with Ken, though, because one of my duties as a defensive coach was to run the scout offense. And, it's been well documented that Ken was a really good scout team quarterback and really took pride in that position. So that was pretty
something
fun.
That you did, too, when you were there, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I took a lot of pride in it back in, I can recall, like, you know, the 2004 and 2005 years. Where especially 2004, we had one of the best defenses in the FCS back when it was still 1AA, we went 9-2 that year. Yeah. I mean that defense was rich with professional football talent, and I can just think of one time, and I don't know if Chris would agree with me on it, but I can remember one time that was kind of my crowning scout team achievement. I was running a double option from under center. And just juke Chris Gokong out of his shoes. And he probably never admit to that. But Chris is a great guy, so maybe he would. But, got some great, great memories from doing that.
And Kenny last year got in the game at Northern Colorado little bit, right? So that's pretty cool, like, to see a guy, you know, work as hard as he did for as long as he did and get in and get some snaps and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Coach Tuatelli at Cal Poly, who doing the play calling, man, he was trying to get Ken a touchdown bad. And you know what? Coach Cook, before he left for Georgia Tech, too, he was trying to get Ken a touchdown as well. I think we were playing Idaho State.
Okay.
And we were beating them pretty good. And Ken went in there and, drove the team down the field. They scored a touchdown. He wasn't the one that got to run it in or throw it. But, it's really – I pictured it as kind of a success story for him. He worked really hard. He was a great example to the younger players about what it meant to be in the weight room and in the classroom. He was a much better student than me or Phil was. And, so he was just a good example of what it was like to work really hard and be a team guy. And I mean, I was up in the box from our games at Cal Poly, and I was just thinking to myself, oh, man, he's in. Let's do something here. Let's hope he scores a touchdown. So it was some pretty cool moments.
Right. As an alum and a former coach, at Cal Poly, do you address with your current team, like, any of what's gone on, like the Cal Poly Five? You know, do you talk to them about, like, a cautionary tale? Do you use that with your team at all?
You know, when it first happened, I definitely did, you know, and it was really – it was a really sad situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really wanted to show my support for Coach Walsh and the whole coaching staff right when that happened, you know, because they it's a really good group of coaches and a really great group of players there at Cal Poly that are really bought in. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, a few of those guys went ahead and tarnished that good reputation. And so it was really sad. But, yeah, to answer your question, absolutely. I mean, told the guys, fellas, you know, you see what happens when you allow your buddies to make bad choices. You know, and Coach, you know, played for Ellerson at Poly, and he always said, fly with a wingman. That was one of his things, you know. So
I had a high school coach that had a similar speech.
Yeah, yeah, you know, so that was the message. I was like, guys, if you have one of your buddies that looks like he's going down the wrong path or he's about to make a really bad decision, yank him out of there. Be a good friend and be a good teammate. So, yeah, it was a good teaching moment for my team, but, you know, I wish it didn't have to come from Cal Poly right there and those guys that I, you know, was there when we recruited them. And I worked side by side with those coaches for 5 years. And, you know, so my heart's really with them. I really care about those guys.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about, and I'm going to ask you to talk about it one more time. I know we're kind of running short on time, but I'm going to ask you to talk about it a little bit more and elaborate on it. You know, kind of your decision to come to San Luis High and your family and kind of like what's kind of the big difference for you? What was behind that decision? And have you always wanted to be a high school coach?
Yeah, I think I always had in the back of my mind I wanted to be a high school coach because my dad was a high school coach and I got to grow up seeing him all the time. And, you know, I saw the kind of life that he was able to make for us and for me and my brothers and my mom. And I wanted that for my girls. I have two girls. And
how old?
Scarlett's going to be 3 on October 5th, so nice. Coming up. And Presley is... she's going to be 4 months on the 4th.
Nice. I have a 14-month-old.
Nice.
Yeah. It's good times.
It is. It really is. Not much sleep, but,
no,
you know,
no,
it's all right.
And it's never going to happen. Like, I'm never going to get back there.
No, probably not. Yeah. But, hey, you know, it's all good. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, my wife and I, we had Scarlett in 2011, and that's when things changed a little bit for me. Started thinking about the future and what direction our family and we wanted to head. And it was either going to be moving around the country every few years looking for another college job, or it was going to be try to set some roots at some point. And after, you know, when we found out we were pregnant with our second daughter, that's when it really kind of hit me. I was like, okay, it's decision time now. Do we go look for something else outside of the area, or do we try to set roots here? And so I had that conversation with Coach Walsh at the end of the season. And really what I told him was, you know, I have so much respect and so much love for all my colleagues and all the guys that I had worked with that have gone that college route and moved their families around the country. I just didn't think that my family was going to be wired that way. Yeah. So I made the decision that I wanted to try to pursue a career in teaching and coaching high school football. And I did all this before I even knew that San Luis and Morro Bay were going to have openings.
Okay.
So it was really, the timing was just incredible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just thought to myself, I would be really silly if I didn't at least try to get one or both those jobs, you know, apply for both of them.
Did you apply for both of them?
I did, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did. And Morro Bay didn't really start their process.
Right, I know they were a little later. Yeah.
Resolved theirs, yeah. So... but, you know, I just thought this is such a desirable place to live, such a wonderful community, that someone could get that job and hold it for a really, really long time, and I would really regret not at least trying. So I'm really glad that I did. I feel really honored, and the administration's been great, and I couldn't be happier with where me and my family are right now.
What from, like, what you learned at Cal Poly, I mean, are you running, like, offense-wise? Like, are you trying to take some elements? Are you doing, like, a whole new thing? What's the idea here? Principle wise at Slo High, like, and how hard has that been to kind of come in with your own verbiage, with your own deal?
You know, I tell you what, these kids here at Slo High have adjusted so well to new terminology and new systems. Are we still in year one of it? It seems pretty clear at times that we are, you know, but the productivity on the offensive side of the ball with a new system, which to be honest is really kind of a hybrid of what I ran in high school. As far as the passing game goes, and then you know, some of the concepts are from Cal Poly and what we did in the triple option game there. And then to top it all off, I was breaking down opponents' offenses for 5 straight years. So I got to kind of pick and choose some of those
things.
Yeah,
that's why I asked. Like, it wouldn't just be the same thing that you did there. I would imagine you have a lot of thoughts that are your own, and that's got to be one of the fun things about being a head coach, right?
It is fun. It's really fun calling the plays. It's something that's something that I always wanted to do was call the plays and try to move an offense down the field. And it's been so much fun. It's a really different feeling getting into the groove of a game and seeing what's working and what's not and making your adjustments. And but it's been a blast. It really has.
Awesome. And you guys are 1-3. You're playing Morro Bay tomorrow night in the fog. I love the fog.
I love the fog.
I grew up in Cayucas, so so the fog is like my whole deal. What's last question? It's a question I ask a lot of people. I've asked Faith and Joe and Tim over at Cal Poly. What's something that people don't really know about you? Anybody who kind of knows you peripherally but maybe doesn't really know you, what's something that people don't really know about you?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
I'll give you a second. Faith Mimna told me she reads murder mystery novels.
Really?
Yeah, and Tim Walsh said he's harder on his assistant coaches than he ever says. That was Tim's take.
Oh, I don't have a comment one way or the other about that. No, Tim, I tell you one thing. Hey, Tim was a great guy to work for. Awesome guy to work for. Here's some. My wife and I, we have a little Chihuahua dachshund named Aurora. That wears a pink harness and is always getting dolled up with little foofy little girl dog things.
Do you have Aurora trained to run out and get the tea and run back?
No, she's not yet. No, you know how those little dogs can be.
I have a beagle. Yeah,
yeah, no, Aurora, she just in her old age, she just wants to sleep all day. I can leave her in the morning and come back, she's in the same spot.
Did you meet your wife at Cal Poly?
We met through, she didn't go to Cal Poly, but we met through a mutual friend here in SLO while I was at Poly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was in 2007. Wow. 2007.
Wow. Okay. Okay. There you go. Well, Pat, I really appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow night. Good luck this season. I'll try to make it out to at least a few of your games and get some shots as well. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Owen.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com. Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.